All right, we're in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verse number 6. This is the fourth beatitude that our Lord gives here on the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, verse number 6. Jesus says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Let's pray, and then we'll get into this verse today. God, we come before you today, humbled by your love and your mercy and your grace that has been showered upon us. Lord, we know that we don't deserve all that you do for us. Lord, you're such a great God that, Lord, you give us your unconditional love, even though we often turn away from you. So, Lord, we start today by giving you thanks for who you are, for what you do for us. Lord, we give thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, and, Lord, his submission to you, coming down to this world, living that perfect life that he did, Lord, and laying down his life for us so that we could have salvation and forgiveness of sins. Lord, not one of us would be here today if it was not for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we say thank you. Lord, we pray now that you would help us to understand the words of our Lord. Lord, we have come together today not to talk about the politics or to talk about entertainment. But Lord, we've come today to hear from your word, Lord, to learn more about you, your truth, your righteousness. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we do that today. Lord, we plead for your Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and our minds with your wisdom, Lord, that we might have true understanding of what the Bible teaches us. Lord, I pray that your people would put aside all the other thoughts that might be crowding into their mind. Lord, this life brings so many things in it, and Lord, we can often be distracted. Lord, I pray that you would help your people to focus upon your word, Lord, that they might understand what is being taught to them. And Lord, that we all might go from this place and strive to live it in our daily lives. Lord, it's not just good enough to hear the word, but Lord, you've called us to be doers of the work. And Lord, I pray that you would give us that fervent zeal and desire to leave this place and to go out and live the Christ-like life that you have called us to live. Lord, I pray again that you would be with us as we look at this passage. Lord, may we indeed hunger and thirst after your righteousness in our life. We'll give you all the honor and all the praise, for you deserve it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, as we come to this fourth beatitude, we see a logical progression of our Lord from one statement to the next. The first three beatitudes that we looked at over the last few weeks are essentially negative commands to forsake evil things that are barriers to the kingdom of heaven. In poverty of spirit, we are to turn away from self-seeking. In mourning, we are to turn away from self-satisfaction. In meekness, we turn away from self-serving. We also saw that the first three beatitudes are costly and painful. Becoming poor in spirit involves death to self. Mourning over our sin involves facing up to our sinfulness. Becoming meek involves surrendering our power and rights to God's control. So all of those first three things, they're difficult and they're hard. They cost us something. However, this fourth beatitude is more positive, and really it's a consequence of the other three. When we put aside self and sins and our power, and we turn to the Lord, we are given a great desire for righteousness. We no longer hunger and thirst after the desires of our flesh. As Christians, we now hunger and thirst after God and His righteousness. So as we begin this fourth beatitude this morning, I'm going to ask you this one question. I'll pose it to you. I'll refer to it a few different times throughout the message, and we'll end with it again. And really is the thrust of the message today. And here's my question. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Now, before we can answer that question honestly, we must understand what Jesus means here when he refers to hunger and thirst. To be honest, I think it's hard for most of us as Americans to understand the potency of these words which our Lord speaks, because we've never really experienced excruciating hunger or desperate thirst. Most of us think of hunger as missing a meal. Most of us think of thirst as I didn't have something to drink in the past hour, so I'm thirsty. But the hunger and thirst of which Jesus speaks of here is of a much more intense sort. In the days of Jesus, poverty was common, and the standard of living was quite low. A common laborer made very little money and would eat meat with a meal only once a week. And to be quite honest, that was only when their crops were actually good. If you studied the Bible, you know that particularly in that land, the land of Palestine, there were numerous famines that came in. If their crops did fail, people were hungry. Okay? A hunger that most of us probably could never even think to begin to understand. On top of that, water was a scarce commodity in the land of Israel. If a person was on a journey and they ran out of water, they didn't go over to the next Turkey Hill and get a 44-ounce Slurpee. That's not how it was. If they ran out of water, they had to wait. And if they were on a long journey, they had to wait until they found the next well or the next stream. And in between that time, they knew and they understood thirst. Especially with Israel's hot climate, these Jewish people knew well what it meant to be thirsty. So as we contemplate the words of our Lord here, please don't make the mistake of confusing the hunger that perhaps you're experiencing now because you didn't eat breakfast this morning, or your desire for water because you haven't had a drink in the past hour, as the type of hunger and thirst that our Lord is referring to. The hunger and thirst of which Jesus speaks of here is of much more intense sort. He is speaking about the hunger of a starving man and the thirst of a man who has run out of water in the desert. He is speaking about such an intense desire for God and His righteousness that you would die without it. This is what Jesus means by hunger and thirst. This intense desire for God is pictured often in the Psalms. If you would turn with me back to the book of Psalms, a couple different passages I want you to look at. First, Psalm 42. Again, when the Bible speaks of thirst and hunger, look at how it describes it. Psalm 42, verse number 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Then shall I come and appear before God. Psalm 63, over a few pages. Verse number 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, how? My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Psalm 84. Verse number 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. So as we see illustrated here by the psalmist, this hunger and thirst that these individuals had wasn't some small type of hunger or some little appetite that they had for God. They would literally die. They wanted God that much. I like what one man said. He said, to be hungry is not enough. I must really be starving to know what is in God's heart toward me. When the prodigal son was hungry, he went to feed on the husk. But when he was starving, he turned to his father. Again, I want you to see the difference between the hunger that we might think about and the hunger that Jesus is speaking about. I rephrase my initial question to this: are you starving for righteousness? Are you starving for righteousness? You say, well, Pastor, I'm here today, aren't I? And that you are. And I commend you for that. But that does not mean you're starving. If you were starving, you'd probably be at more than one service as much as is physically possible. If you were starving, you'd open up your Bible more than just on Sunday. You'd open it up on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Why? Because you're starving. You hunger and you thirst after righteousness. But unfortunately, too many Christians have become Americans when it comes to our spirituality. We're fat, and not in a good sense. We're fat because we've been eating the world's entertainment all week. We're fat because we've been indulging in our fleshly desires all week. And then we wonder why we're not hungry. Christian friend, you know why you're not hungry? Because you're feeding off of everything that this world has to offer. And so, yes, you come to church one time a week, but it doesn't mean you're starving. Unfortunately, too many Christians have overindulged their flesh all week. They're no longer hungry to come to church and worship their Lord and Savior. They're no longer hungry to sing praises to God. They're no longer hungry for fellowship with their brothers and sisters in Christ. They're no longer hungry to feast upon His Word. Christian friend, if that is you, you're in a scary place. The person who has no hunger and thirst for righteousness has no part in the kingdom of God. Within the genuine Christian is an intense desire, a starving, a thirsting after righteousness. So again, I ask you, be honest with yourself. Are you starving? Jesus goes on in verse number 6. He tells us what we are to hunger and thirst after. He says righteousness. So what does Jesus mean here by righteousness? Well, let me start by saying that Jesus is not referring to our own righteousness. If you know your Bible, in Isaiah 64:6, God says that our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags in the sight of God. Now, the Jewish people had a very hard time understanding this. They thought that by following the law and all of its religious requirements, they could be found righteous in the sight of God. But in chapter 5, verse number 20, Jesus tells the people that they had to have a better righteousness than that of the scribes and Pharisees in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Look at Matthew 5, verse number 20. Again, just a few verses later from this statement we're looking at, Jesus says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now again, for the Jewish people, how in the world could they have a better righteousness than that of the scribes and the Pharisees? Well, Jesus tells us just a little bit later on in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6, verse number 33. Notice the words of Jesus, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The better righteousness that Jesus was talking about was the righteousness that was found in God. And because it was found in God, it was found in Him, the Son of God. Paul explains this in Romans chapter 10. I want to take some time to look at this, so turn with me there. Romans chapter 10. Again, the people to whom Jesus was speaking totally misunderstood the righteousness that they should have been seeking after. I'm going to read a good portion of Scripture here. Romans chapter 10, we'll begin in verse number 1. I want you to notice that Paul focuses on this word righteousness, and he's going to tell us what is the true righteousness and where it comes from and how we get it. Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So according to Paul in these verses, the Jews went about seeking or trying to attain the righteousness of God in the wrong way. How did they try to attain the righteousness of God? By their own works of the law. They're doing all of these religious things in order to attain righteousness. But notice again, Paul says, you guys are ignorant. You're not understanding what the Bible says. That righteousness does not come by the law. It comes by who? By Jesus Christ. Those that believe in Jesus, that believe unto righteousness. Paul says this again in Philippians 3:9. You don't need to turn there. But he says, and be found in him, that's Jesus, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. These Jewish people were misunderstanding and were making a horrible mistake. They were trying to attain righteousness by the works of the law. And that is not a mistake that is any different from our day. There are a lot of people today trying to do the same thing that these Jewish people were doing, trying to attain righteousness by works. Now, they might not follow the works of the Mosaic law, but they tried to do a whole bunch of good things in order to attain righteousness. Maybe there's a person here today, you're doing that. I commend you for doing good things. I commend you for your appetite for righteousness. But in order for you to attain true righteousness, you must hunger and thirst after His righteousness. This is what the Bible is teaching us. If you hunger and thirst after your own righteousness, like the Jews were doing, you'll just be as lost as the Pharisees were. Were they righteous? Sure, they kept the works of the law. But were they righteous in the sight of God? No. Jesus was teaching these people that they must come to a place where they understood that their righteousness was nothing but filthy rags, and they must hunger and thirst after His righteousness. Those that do, the Bible says, they will be filled with His righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Who's the Him? It's Jesus. You want to be made righteous in the eyes of God? You must be found in Jesus. Jesus is the manifestation of the righteousness of God. He is the righteousness that we are to be hungering and thirsting after in order to obtain salvation from our Lord. Now, I would assume most of us here today understand this truth. We know that Jesus is the only way to attain true righteousness, the righteousness of God. But as we see here in our text again, there must be a continual hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Now, this righteousness isn't the righteousness that comes by justification. This is the righteousness that comes by sanctification. And let me explain the difference between those two. Justification is the act of being declared righteous by God because we believe in what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. So when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that God's righteousness, because it's found in Jesus, is imputed to you. It's transferred to you, right? Now when God sees you, he sees righteousness. Not your righteousness, because yours is filthy rags. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It has been transferred to you, and that in theology is called justification. You are now declared righteous in the sight of God. Let me give you one verse to back this up. There are many verses, but let me just show you one. Romans chapter 5. Verse number 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So Paul's saying, you have justification because of Jesus Christ. We're all under condemnation because of Adam. But because of Jesus, and if you put your faith in him, you have justification. You have now the righteousness of God on you because of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, differing from justification is sanctification. Sanctification is the ongoing process whereby we grow in the righteousness which we have received from trusting in Jesus. We're going to look at a few verses to prove this point. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 30, Paul will correlate these two points, righteousness and justification. Again, normally we think of righteousness as only pertaining to salvation, justification. Well, I'm going to show you that there is a righteousness that pertains to sanctification, and that is the righteousness we are to be hungering after. Verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Look with me at Philippians chapter 1. Verses 9 through 11. Philippians 1, verse number 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Notice this now. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So Paul says there are fruits of righteousness that as Christians we ought to be filled with. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 6. Again, this is just a sampling of verses. If you are interested, find a concordance or a Bible program. Look up righteousness in just the epistles, and you'll see how often outside of salvation that righteousness is used. 1 Timothy 6, verse number 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after what? Righteousness. But I already have righteousness. This is the righteousness of sanctification. 1 Peter chapter 2. 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So as Christians, the righteousness which we have in Jesus is something that we should be constantly growing in. I hope you understand that from these verses. It should be something we constantly hunger and seek after. We want to be more and more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. Do we have his righteousness? Yes. But do you always act that way? No. So hunger and thirst more and more and more after that righteousness. We want more and more of His righteousness to be seen in our life. That is the fruits of righteousness. But Christian friend, this is only possible if you hunger and thirst after righteousness. Have you ever wondered why you're not becoming more and more like Jesus Christ as the days go by? You should. It's because you're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Do you know why you don't care if you miss church? Do you know why you don't care if you don't read your Bible? And you're a Christian. Because you don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do you know why you don't exhibit the fruits of righteousness in your life? And you're a Christian. It's because you don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. We've become apathetic. We've become spiritually fat. But according to Jesus, there ought to be such an overwhelming desire within our soul for righteousness that we spiritually act like starving people, like a person who's traveling in the desert and has no water. That's how much you want God. That's how much you want righteousness in your life. Every time the bread of life is opened, you're here to eat it up. Every time the milk of the Word is taught, you're here to drink it up. Why? Because you're starving. You're that hungry and thirsty for more righteousness in your life. I think the older that we get as Christians, I'm speaking maturity-wise, not years-wise, the older that we get, we tend to, for whatever reason, become less hungry. And really, the opposite should be true. The more we mature in our faith, the more we should hunger. The more we should thirst after righteousness. It's sad to say, but church attendance in America has been on the decline for the last decade. You know why that is? Christians no longer hunger and thirst after righteousness. I would say some of them are saved. They just no longer hunger. They don't starve anymore. And so they don't care to go to church. I don't need that. Well, then you don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. Unfortunately, there are many that do go to church, but they simply go out of duty. Well, I'm a Christian. I better go to church. It's Sunday. Christian friend, if that's you, you totally misunderstand the point. You don't go to church because you have to. You go to church because you're hungry. You see the difference there? We don't go out to eat because we have to go out to eat. Why do we go to Cracker Barrel? Because we're hungry. Why do you go out to eat? Why do you come to church? Because you have to? No, it shouldn't be. No, you're commanded to. But you should go because you're hungry. I want to be in church because I'm starving. Yes, I've been saved for 30 years, but I'm starving for more and more righteousness. This is what Jesus is teaching here. I want you to notice the result of those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Matthew 5, again, verse number 6. Jesus says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The word filled here means satisfied. Jesus says, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be satisfied. This satisfaction is a repeated theme throughout the Scriptures. You don't need to turn to these verses. I'll just quote them to you. Psalm 107:9. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Psalm 34:10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In John 4:14, Jesus told the woman at the well, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst,
But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. To the crowds near Capernaum, Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So there is satisfaction in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason why there are so many people around us today in this world that are searching for satisfaction everywhere is because they haven't come to Jesus Christ. That's why they're after drugs and entertainment and alcohol and sex and all that. Why? They're seeking for something to fill them. They're seeking for something to satisfy their soul. But according to the Bible, the only person that can truly satisfy a soul is Jesus Christ. That's why I like what Paul says in the New Testament. He says, when you're saved, you are complete in him. If you feel like you're missing a part of you today, then you need Jesus. Because Jesus completes you. He gives you a peace that passeth all understanding. He fills your life with his joy and peace. So we know that Jesus is ultimately the satisfaction that we get if we hunger and thirst after righteousness. But that being said, I believe there's an interesting paradox here for the Christian. Again, as I've just spoken about, as Christians, we are told to continually seek and hunger after righteousness. We always should be wanting more and more of Jesus and his righteousness. But yet the scripture says here, you'll be satisfied. So how's that possible? How can we continually hunger and thirst and be satisfied at the same time? Let me give you an illustration of what I believe our Lord is teaching here. A couple weeks ago, me and my wife went out. We did my birthday and Valentine's celebration all together. And we went to Texas Roadhouse in Wilkes-Barre. If you haven't been to Texas Roadhouse, let me give you a little bit of a clip. Go to Texas Roadhouse. It was really good. We went there. We both got a ribeye steak. And we sat there. We ate it. When we got done, we were filled. It was good. But you know what? As we were leaving, me and my wife were already talking about a time to come back to Texas Roadhouse. Why? Because the feeling that I gave, that I got, that satisfaction that I got, made me hunger for more. Do you understand? It was so satisfying. I can't wait to get some more of it. Let me give you another illustration. Perhaps you can relate to this one as well. I love to study the Bible. You say, well, that's your job. It is my job. But I love to study the Bible. And what I find is the more I study the Bible, the more I want to study the Bible. Okay, the more that I'm filled, like, wow, that was good. I don't go home and say, I'm not going to read it anymore for the next 6 months. I want to read it some more. Even though it satisfies me. It's like, wow, that was great. I love that. It stirs within me a desire to want more and more. I believe this is what Jesus is teaching here. The person who generally hungers and thirsts after righteousness finds it so satisfying, they want more and more of it in their life. The Sunday morning message was so satisfying, they come back Sunday evening. Their Bible reading on Monday was so satisfying, they read it again on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday. Even though it satisfied them, they want more. This is what our Lord is teaching here. Do you want that type of satisfaction in your life that just craves in you a desire for more? Then hunger and thirst after righteousness. Sometimes we look around at people and we're like, man, I really want to be like them. We compare ourselves with ourselves, and we shouldn't do that. But you know why some Christians are so on fire for the Lord? It's because they hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you don't. You're satisfied with the little bit that you get. But really, if you're truly satisfied, you'll want more. This is what our Lord is saying here. We continually hunger and thirst, and he satisfies us. And that makes us want more and more of his righteousness in our life. So I ask you one final time, and I want you to be honest. Are you starving? Again, I'm not asking if you're a little bit hungry. Again, that's American hunger.
I didn't eat breakfast this morning. I'm a little bit hungry. No, I'm not talking about that. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Are you starving? Are you so hungry for God and His righteousness that you would die if you didn't have it? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's pray.